Here we go, Dr. Ross.
Dr. Ross Walker.
Right. Hello, George. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Ross. Lovely to talk to you.
Hey, Dr. Ross, I heard during this week, they were talking about the flu season. It's been a terrible flu season in Australia this year, but they were saying that apparently heart attacks peak during the flu season. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, a study was done at the University of New South Wales a few years ago showing clearly that people that have a yearly flu vaccine have a 30% reduction in heart attack. And the reason being is when you get influenza or any really bad infection, it overwhelms the immune system and really inflames the cells. And those inflamed cells are a bit like having a security guard on crack.
Yeah.
Shoots before he asks questions.
Wow.
And so he sees immune system sees a big plaque in the arteries and just rips into it like a Pac-Man and rips it open. And that's what happens with a heart attack.
Yeah, they were saying it was something to do with the fact that if you've got the flu, you're coughing, you're shaking, and it might just be enough to tip you over the edge.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because when you do cough intensely, you increase your intrathoracic pressure, which puts a strain on the arteries and everything else in the body.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. So do those flu shots. Now,
absolutely.
Alzheimer's disease, they say there is, and they've been talking about this for a while, a new and accurate blood test to help prevent the disease, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So the big question is, would you want to know that in 20 years' time you're going to get Alzheimer's disease? Because that's what this test does. And see, the whole point about Alzheimer's is the reason people get Alzheimer's disease is it's a sluggishness, increasing sluggishness in the microcirculation, the brain. So if you think about it, if you've got blockages in the big arteries going up to your brain or into your heart, there's a washdown effect in the microcirculation. So it doesn't matter, for example, how much water there is in Warragamba Dam, it's how much you turn your tap on will depend on how much water you get in the cup. And it's the same thing for what blood is delivered to the microcirculation, to the capillaries and the tissues. And so what happens there is you're not washing the muck out of your brain. So every time you have a thought or an emotion, you create a waste product, and you've got to get rid of the waste product, just like when you have a meal and you have scraps on the plate, you've got to wash the plate. So as we get older, we don't clear those waste products as much, and they accumulate in the brain and take over the nerves. That's Alzheimer's disease, basically.
Right. Okay.
So with this, they're now being able to measure in the bloodstream a ratio of these toxic proteins that are spilling over from the brain very, very early on in your life, so 20 years before you get Alzheimer's disease. And there's another blood test that's not routine but certainly available now called ApoE4. And this ApoE4 is a strong predictor. So if you have one copy of ApoE4, because you get a copy of one gene from mum and one from dad, one copy of ApoE4 it can predict Alzheimer's disease in your 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Two copies, maybe Alzheimer's disease in your 40s and 50s. So they're measuring ApoE4, these amyloid proteins, and looking at your age.
Ross, what can you do about it? Can you prevent it?
But when you get over the age of 65, you double the risk of Alzheimer's disease every 5 years as well. So they look at age, ApoE4, and the amyloid proteins. So as you say, the question is, what the hell can you do about it? Well, the point is, we're talking about something that's going to happen 20 years down the track. We already have seen trials emerging now, things called monoclonal antibodies. There's another thing called Anavex that's been trialed in Melbourne. And all of these things are showing reversal of disease. There's a guy called Dale Bresden who's written a book, The End of Alzheimer's Disease. He has a thing called the MEND program in Southern California. In a small pilot trial of 11 people with Alzheimer's disease, he reversed it in 10 out of 11 cases by a combination of lifestyle change, nutraceuticals, so it's supplements, and brain training and transcranial brain stimulation. So this is a new wave as well. There's this machine you can put on the outside of your skull that stimulates the brain. So there's a lot you can do about it. And another study has just come out showing, for example, people who are socially engaged between the ages of 50 to 70 also have reduced Alzheimer's disease. Now, that could be just because people are getting Alzheimer's disease early and they're not becoming as socially engaged because of it, or it could be because they're not getting
stimulation. So good news. And can I just answer your original question? You asked the question, would you like to know now whether you'll get Alzheimer's in 20 years? Yes, I would, actually,
because I'm
not sure if I'll still be around.
No, but I would want to know because you can do something
else might kill you.
All right. Now, this resveratrol in red wine, they say it helps to prevent depression. I hope that's true. I had a nice glass of red this week.
Yeah, and try saying resveratrol. After you've had a few glasses of red.
I must admit, I am going to the Penfolds dinner tonight, so I'm looking forward to this being true. This was a mouse study, so we can't extrapolate it too much. But what they're showing with treatment of depression, We've been working on things like serotonin. So all the antidepressants lift up the serotonin in your brain, but they're looking at a totally different pathway called the cyclic AMP pathway. And this particular drug has been shown to be a primary regulator for what goes on with the communication within the brain.
Ross, could I just interject there? What exactly is resveratrol? Is that something that's in the wine?
Yeah. Resveratrol comes from the skin of the red grape.
Okay.
And it's been used as an anti-aging drug. Dave Sinclair in Harvard's been doing a lot of work on this to show that it can actually reverse aging in animals. So it hasn't been shown in humans as yet. Mm. But what this resveratrol does is increase the amount of this AMP within the brain, cyclic AMP, which therefore improves your mood and reduces anxiety. So there's some good work here that's probably one of the reasons why one or two glasses of red wine a day may help, but they're using much bigger doses for this.
Yes, I was going to ask you, how many bottles of Grange Hermitage a day have you got to drink?
Exactly. I love the way the emphasis on the may help.
Yeah. Yes. Who cares? Yes. But to get the amount of anti-aging resveratrol, you've got to drink about four or five bottles a day.
So, a day.
A mate of mine, who calls himself the wine doctor, has been selling resveratrol enhanced wine, so you can get a much bigger dose from having a couple of
glasses. So he sells it promoting the resveratrol.
But let me say, no doctor should be encouraging anyone to drink.
Absolutely. Well, let's stick to that one glass of red a day.
Including you, that is.
Now, just before we go, you did mention you're going to the Penfolds dinner. I did read one of the top wine critics in the world said this week that the new Grange Hermitage from Penfolds is yummy. That's the phrase he used.
I'll be trying it tonight.
Good on you. Good luck. Thank you for that. Talk to you next week.
That's what the dinner's all about, isn't it? The new Grange.
See you, Ross.
Good on you, Ross. Well done.
Bye-bye, Dr. Ross. Bye.